This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Friday. Just a quick little disclaimer that this episode does talk about a couple of more sensitive topics like anxiety and addiction and other things of that nature. Nothing's too deep, but I would like to give you the opportunity to click out if that isn't conducive with your mental health plan. And if it is, let's get to it. What is up, world? And welcome back to the Freelance Friday podcast. I feel like my outfit today, if you're watching on YouTube, is giving wrestler. Didn't intend on that. It's just a very gloomy day. So I thought we're going to have a sit down cozy episode. That means if you are listening and you are looking for the five tips, step by step, how to give me the answer, this is not the episode for you. I always like to give a fair warning whenever we get a little chatty because I get comments. I get angry comments saying that I talk too much. So I'm going to be talking too much in today's episode. And we're going to be wrestling with some feelings, I suppose, because I just want to talk about this sort of Instagram trend that's been going on and what it means about us as content creators, as content consumers, and also just open up about some of my struggles, failures, insecurities, because it seems to be really, you know, striking a chord with people. So let me back up and explain what this trend is. So I actually started seeing it in like therapist circles. I have like some therapist friends and they were posting this thing that said, social media is a highlight reel. You do like a carousel. That's the first page. And then there's, you know, you do subsequent slides with different struggles that you have. And some people are making them as simple as like, you know, sometimes I feel like the algorithm doesn't like me, even though I'm a successful content creator. I got deep because that's just kind of like who I am. I am not a small talk person. So I was like, yeah, I have all this anxiety and stuff like that. And I got more comments and messages on Instagram than I had probably all year from that one post. And it's just interesting to me because I feel like I'm always very honest about that stuff. But I guess, you know, it's not in people's faces, I guess. So I want to talk about a couple of things first before I get into what I posted. The first thing is I actually didn't love seeing this trend at first. I just have always hated the term social media is a highlight reel. And I personally disagree with that. I personally do not think that I use social media as a highlight reel. And I think using social media as a highlight reel is a choice. If you are frustrated that you feel like you only see people's wins, I think there's two issues with that. I think number one, think about what you're posting. Are you only posting your wins? Are you only following people who are aspirational or who, you know, claim that they know it all and are afraid to be human? So evaluate that. But I also think, yeah, I'm going to say it. I think we need to be able to be happy for people too. And I think sometimes that comment can come across a little negative. And I am a human being. Like I, of course, I experience jealousy. I experience, you know, whatever, all the feelings, inadequacy, whatever. But I really do try to look at social media when I see somebody who's doing something that maybe I want to be doing. I try to look at it as opportunity, not competition. It's like if another, particularly if it's another woman or somebody who I identify with in some way is doing something, I'm like, ooh, that means it's possible. That means there's a chance, you know, as opposed to like, oh, she did this, so that means there's only one spot, you know, there. And we do see this, I think, a lot with gender or race or whatever, kind of this like tokenization in business, which is really unfortunate. That's something that's done to us where we feel like, oh, there's only one spot for a woman. Oh, they filled the XYZ, that slot, so that means there's not room for me. But I choose to operate in a different mindset. And not saying I still don't fall victim to it, but I try to operate from a different mindset. And yeah, I mean, I think that there is something to say about, yeah, of course, I'm not like posting, you know, when I'm terribly ill or if I get in an argument with somebody that I love or care about. But I do think I try to keep it pretty real when it comes to what I create content about, right? Which is about business. And I am never one to lie and say it's easy, that I know everything. I'm forever a student. I actually just posted a vlog recently, if you didn't check it out, where I talked about like some health stuff that I've been going through. I did a post about it in this Instagram carousel, but yeah, that was one of those moments that was a little opposite of highlight reel for me. And the reason I actually was scared about posting that was more just because it has to do with something that unfortunately people like to turn political and controversial. And also just because I never want to feel like I'm complaining. Like, I think that is something about social media too, is particularly with content creators, if they have any amount of success, however you quantify that, with money or followers or whatever, perceived success, perceived beauty, like anything like that. If anyone complains, I think sometimes it can be taken really negatively too. So I think we also need to allow people to complain or be honest or be their authentic selves. So anyway, I want to talk about some of the things, because I get a lot of comments, people saying, hey, can you do full videos on this or this or this? And yes, I will. Definitely let me know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, if any of these things you would like more on. Probably not going to talk about my father issues more in depth. Oh, this is the one shot, frankly. But the other issues I might talk about more and bring some guests on. I actually have an idea for a couple of guests for some of these issues. So the first thing, let's just come out with it. Anxiety. I talked about how let me pull up my post. What did I even say? Okay, so I said, I never realized how my anxiety and other spiciness impacted my business until I started going to business events again in 2022. I worry that it's put a cap on what I can achieve in my career, because what you know matters, but who you're willing to network with seems to matter more. So let me break that down. I've always dealt with anxiety and other things. I think my social anxiety has gotten a lot better over the years, the older that I've gotten. But I think I kind of regressed during 2020, 2021, 2022, as I think a lot of people, even people who do not struggle with anxiety or did not struggle with anxiety previously, because we were alone so much, because we adapted to kind of this new weird way of life. I remember the first business trip I went on, I went to LinkedIn to shoot a course in Carpinteria, California. I went by myself. And like, I felt like I was not from this planet, which, side note, I feel like a lot already. But the car, like, they got me a rental car, and I couldn't start the car. And so I needed to get the guy, like my producer, to come help me. And I remember just feeling like I wanted to shrink and die. Like, it was the most embarrassing thing that had ever happened to me in my life. And I was like, why is it this weird? He's so nice. He was so willing to help me. But it was just like, I didn't even know how to say the words. Like, it was just like very strange. And I also think, I actually want to pull up this thread from Dot Lung, who's an Instagram like educator. I've met her virtually. She's very nice. I like a lot of the things she says. I'm not going to say I agree with everything she posts on threads, but I do love her threads. Like, she's just very herself, and I love that. And she posted, does anyone else miss COVID lockdown season? And my response was, I feel bad saying it because obviously I don't miss all the struggle, sickness, and fear, but as a chill person, I do miss some aspects of it. For the first time in my life, I felt like I had a really thriving social life because everyone came into my introverted internet world. Now I feel a little left behind. And yeah, I, as posted, want to be very sensitive. I lost people. I got sick. That has led to like long-term drama. So yeah, I don't want to like minimize that. But as far as the social interactions, that was truly my most thriving social life ever. I had so many friends. I was always doing social things. I felt really seen. Twitter during 2020, 2021 was like the best place I've ever been in my life. And then I think I feel a little forgotten, you know, I feel a little left behind because things started opening back up and everyone went back to business as usual. I feel like that period of time for introverts or neurospicy people or anxious people or whatever it is that you want to say, whatever it is that you identify as, it was kind of an equalizer because we're all on the same playing field. None of us could go beyond, speak on big stages. None of us had to go network and shake hands. We all just had the internet. But now that things are back, I'm seeing this like hierarchy again of like the loud extrovert, the bubbly, you know, neurotypical person is getting ahead. And this is nothing against them. Obviously, this is nobody's fault. But yeah, I just, I've been to some events recently where I literally, like I said, I feel like I'm from a different planet. Like it's not speaking. This is something that is really interesting. And maybe you can relate if you identify with any of the things I've said so far. But I can speak to a camera. I can speak to a large room. I can speak one-on-one or even like two-on-one pretty easily. But when we talk cocktail party, also I don't drink. So that's like also throwing a little bit of anxiousness. You know, when I drank, I was a social butterfly. I don't anymore. You know, it's just, it's very, very challenging for me, this idea of networking and getting to know people and putting myself out there. And it shows, like I see how people respond to those who are the popular ones. It doesn't even matter how good their speech was. If you're memorable, if you're personable, I think it does get you a little further in business. And that's just a hard truth that I have to deal with and figure out what I want to do with that information. Do I want to continue to work and push myself to do things that make me uncomfortable, which is what I have been doing? Or do I want to say, like, maybe that's not for me, and maybe I'm going to like continue to have this little introverted internet world and, you know, maybe cultivate a community of people like me. I don't know, but that is something that I struggle with. Okay, another thing that I posted about was ageism. And some people, this was the only one that I really got any amount of pushback on, and it was pretty much all very kind. It wasn't like, shut up. But people were like, ageism? You're 30. I'm about to turn 33 for clarification. And people were like, what? And I get it. My response to the person who's surprised on Instagram was like, so you're as surprised as me. Got it. And I think this is absolutely something that needs more conversation. I want to do a video on it with somebody who's older than me and talks about this stuff all the time. Okay, I said, I feel deceived about my 30s. Everyone told me they'd be the best years of my life, but they've been rough for me. Ageism is real already, especially in a, quote, young industry like marketing. So here's the thing. I think if you work in like, I don't know, banking, I don't know, probably not, like nobody probably cares when you turn 30. I think when you work in an industry that, yes, is all about what's new, what's trending, you know, what's hot. And also when you do something like I do that, as much as I don't want to focus it on that, I was talking to somebody the other day, it was like, it's not about your face, it's about what you say. But like, you know, it is appearance focused to some small degree at least. You know, I think these things are very real. And examples of casual, I wouldn't even say casual ageism, I would say it's pretty ageist. Put in like a job posting, we're looking for a Gen Z marketer. That might be illegal, I'm not sure. It certainly makes me feel, as an old decrepit millennial, that, you know, I have no place there. And the comments that I received, not to like out anyone, but they were really interesting too. I didn't even really think about this. Like, I'm not a mom. I don't plan to have children of my own. So I don't really even think about like the whole parental leave thing and that whole thing. But oh my gosh, like women in tech, I've heard from just people in my personal life, oh yeah, I got married and they literally started asking when I'm planning to have kids. And like, I felt like I had to hide my pregnancy. Or somebody in my comments was talking about how, you know, people have just like told them like, yeah, I want somebody who's more committed, who can like commit to this company because she had kids or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how we're saying that's not ageism. You could be 25 and experience stuff like that. So yeah, it is something that I think about because it's like, will people want to watch me in 20 years on YouTube? Will YouTube exist? Number one, probably not. But also, like, will people want to watch me? Some people will, hopefully. I think it's actually a lot worse, though, if you work in corporate America or corporate anywhere, any country, because at least as a freelancer, I can kind of choose the projects I work on, the people I surround myself with, how much I want to be on camera, how much I want to care about appearance and stuff like that. Whereas, there are a lot of other really real things in the corporate world. Okay, what else did I talk about? Generational wealth. Let's talk about that one. So I said, I haven't taken more than a week off at a time since I was 15. Though I am pumping the brakes a tad, it does bother me that what younger me called survival is called hustle culture by many who've never had to jump through the same hoops as a first generation wealth builder. That was a term my accountant used the other day, and I've been using it ever since. I'm like, first generation wealth builder. That is what I am. You know, and the reason we were talking about it, my accountant and I was just like, I'm so grateful for you guys, because I don't know. I've never, you know, had anyone in my life make the amount of money that I make. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. I'm supposed to start investing. I don't know how to do that. And they're just like, seriously, the best mentors for me. I could cry when I think about them. But anyway, I see this kind of, what's the word? The pendulum has swung, right? We were so deep in like girl boss era for so long. And I think it's really swung to the complete other side of like, I don't dream of labor and like self-care and prioritizing life over work. And I do love that. I do. But I also think it is sometimes a somewhat privileged take. I'm just going to say it. I don't love the word privilege. I think it's so like loaded and stuff, but it is. I think to have the privilege to be able to be like, yeah, I'm going to do a 4-day work week. I think that is a privilege. You know, I am not just working for myself. I am working for my family. I don't have children, no, but I do have nephews and a niece. I already buried my dad and did that on my own dime, literally paid money for it, you know? And I'm saying this for those who can relate. Like, I'm not girl bossing too close to the sun. I'm just trying to like get myself to a point of just like, you know, normalcy. And yeah, I think I have done really well for myself. If I continue doing what I'm doing, I'll hopefully be able to retire early and like enjoy life a little bit more than maybe the average person who works the 9-to-5 has to wait until 65 or whatever to retire. That's not the plan. I'll hopefully be able to retire a lot sooner than that. But even still, some of that discourse really does bother me. And I think it actually is a little harmful to people like me, who there are so many of. There are so many people who are listening and watching this right now who, like, you know, have to work two jobs, three jobs, you know? I mean, oh my gosh, when I was in college, I had school full-time. I was a part-time assistant manager in a retail store, which part-time was like 32 hours. I did a side hustle. Like, I always had some type of a side hustle, whether it was my blog or freelance writing or whatever. And then when YouTube started to get bigger when I was in college, that became like a whole job in and of itself. Got a job in corporate, and then I started side hustling while doing YouTube. Like, I've always just worked, and it has just always been something that I really needed to do. So I think we need to be a little bit more gentle when we talk about like girl bossing and like hustle culture and calling it out, because some people's lives have to be hustle culture. I mean, I know that's not pleasant to hear, and I don't think it should be that way, but I think some people don't really have a choice. And so when you call out people on the internet for promoting hustle culture, I think we need to talk about how they're also promoting, you know, generational wealth building, how they're also doing what they need to do to take care of their families or just themselves, how they are unpacking maybe financial beliefs that they had that are way deeper than just, oh, I read Girl Boss and I wanted to just hustle all the time. Like, that's not what it's about for so many people. I truly believe that. Okay, what else did I talk about? I think I'm just going to talk about one more. Some of the other ones were kind of irrelevant. Actually, this one is a little irrelevant too, business, but I do think it's kind of related. So I was talking about my dad and how I grew up watching him struggle with addiction and actually lost him, you know, physically in my 20s. But I always had a weird relationship. Like, I never really had a dad. Like, I mean, you know, he was my dad, but like, he wasn't a father figure by any means. I know a lot of people can relate to that stuff. This is real life. It's one of the reasons that I am sober for 7 years is because I just like, I can't. It's in my blood. But something that I've really very much been unpacking a lot lately in my, you know, 30s, late 20s, and just after losing him is like how that has affected my relationships, not just friendships, romantic relationships, but even like my relationships with money, for example. So there's a book called Attached. It's all about attachment styles. And the very quick rundown of it is it's a theory that how you were raised or kind of your early childhood kind of upbringing influenced how you connect with people. It's specifically about relationships, but my theory, and some other people have the same theory, is that it also has to do with how you connect with money or things or whatever as well. For me, I think my attachment style is avoidant, which is, let me pull up the Google here. It's categorized by difficulty trusting others, ambivalence, striving for independence above all. That one strikes a chord. Emotional detachment, uncomfortable feeling needed. Stab me in the heart. That's me. Abandoned. I'm sorry. This is not funny. Difficulty handling conflict. Okay. A lot of these things resonate. And I think as a freelancer, all of those things are amplified so much. Feeling needed, being a breadwinner, asking for help, impossible, reaching out to friends when you need something or when you're feeling alone, not happening. What else? Emotional detachment. Again, the anxiety, the networking. I feel like an alien when I walk into a room and am asked to talk to people. Yeah, it's all like these deep attachment wounds that we all have. There's like lots of different styles. So, you know, Google yours, take a test, but you learn a lot about yourself. But the point is, I think entrepreneurship really puts a magnifying glass on a lot of those things and forces us to deal with them, whether we're ready to or not. And sometimes it can be a lot. But yeah, so those are just some of the things that I struggle with regularly. Yeah, let me know what you think. Do you think that the social media sites should be a highlight reel? Do you feel you use them that way? I don't know. What do you think? I also just want to end on the note of, I also saw some criticism of this trend and people were like, why is everyone posting all their trauma, like trauma dumping everywhere? Which I hate that term too, trauma dump. Like it's just, you're just talking. Like if your life is traumatic, you can't help that. You're allowed to tell your stories. But I definitely do not like seeing stuff like this as like an engagement bait. I posted it because I thought it was interesting. And like, I thought maybe my close friends, like my friends that I actually know in real life and stuff would like it. I didn't expect so many of you all to really identify with it. And so that was like kind of a secret benefit of it, an unexpected perk, I guess, but it wasn't the intention. And I agree. I think we shouldn't be weaponizing our trauma or, you know, using it as an engagement hook or whatever. But I think that people are, this is something I predicted. I'm just going to call it right there. I sat here. It was a day just like today, actually. It was like the evening. It was gloomy. And I recorded an episode all about AI. And I said, what can AI not do? It cannot have my story. It cannot, you know, have my lived experiences. It cannot connect with you. It cannot befriend you in real life. And I think that this kind of boom of AI and automation and trends-based marketing, it's all about getting the viral meme or the viral TikTok. I think people are over it. I think people want stories. I think if you're going to watch a content creator, you want to know who that creator is. Otherwise, you could just go on ChatGPT and get the answer. Like, there's a reason that you are choosing to watch content creators, not just go on AI or whatever. So keep that in mind. Again, I'm not saying use this stuff as like engagement bait, but you should be a human being. You know, don't just be a computer. Don't just rattle off AI scripts. I think people are really rejecting that, which makes me very happy. It does, because I love listening to stories and I'm just very curious about people. And I love talking when I let people in, apparently. So anyway, thank you for letting me in today. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you as always. I hope this was a good cozy chat. And I will talk to you in my next episode. See you then. Bye.